Today's reading is from Mark 9, 38 to 41. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw a man casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not forbid him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon after to speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is for us. For truly I said to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose his reward." This is the word of our Lord.
What a great message for our church and for our society in general. That's not really the current theme in our society. It's us against them. Democrats against Republicans, illegal immigrants against native-born descendants of immigrants, Christians against Muslims, fundamentalists against liberals. As the Hall of Famer boxing announcer loves to say before a fight, "Let's get ready to rumble." And that's how we are sometimes. It seems like we're just looking for a fight to defend our side. We're right and they are wrong. Or I'm right and you are wrong. Or my church is right and your church is wrong. Carl and Rosa Sumara, in their book Holy Hilarity, tell a great story. It's about a church, Baptist church, Southern Baptist church in Atlanta, Georgia, that had a problem with their parking. Nearby there were two other places of worship, a Catholic church and an Episcopal church. Parking was hard to come by, and since these two churches met earlier than the Southern Baptist church met, they used their parking lot. When the Baptists arrived for worship, there was no place for them to park. So every Sunday, it was just, what are we going to do? And people were getting aggravated. Well, the Baptists came up with a very innovative solution. Members of the Baptist church spent one Sunday morning putting bumper stickers on all the cars in the parking lot. The bumper stickers proclaim, "I'm proud to be a Southern Baptist." Now, yesterday I ordered 5,000 bumper stickers. One Sunday morning we're going to go to all the churches around that are meeting and secretly put them on their bumper stickers. I don't think they would appreciate that. At least things are a little better than they used to be. Arthur Herman's book, How the Scots Invented the Modern World, tells about one incident between the Episcopalians and the Presbyterians. Now, you may not realize this, but Presbyterians, by our history and our nature, have been a very, how should I delicately put this, argumentative people, to say the least. Well, the missionary tried to preach in the Carolinas, and the local Presbyterians disrupted the service. They rioted outside while he preached, took a pack of dogs and started fighting them right outside of the church, loosed his horse, stole his church key, refused him food and drink in the town, and gave him, not him, but gave two barrels of whiskey to his Episcopalian congregation. Now, as I said, there's only one problem with this story. I don't know many Presbyterians that are going to give away their whiskey. They're going to keep it themselves. "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." Jesus said, don't stop him. "For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us." Isn't that just like Jesus? Doesn't he know that we like to huddle in our own little cliques? Suburbs against the inner city, blacks against white, the wealthy against everybody else. How dare Jesus ruin our fun when we enjoy looking down our nose at other people? We enjoy looking down on people who are not like us, who look different from us, who look at life differently than we do, who have a different set of values and understanding about life or the scriptures or whatever it might be. The most natural thing in the world is to prefer people who are like us. Sociologists call it ethnocentrism. People prefer people who are like them, and we're often uncomfortable with people who are different from us. A few years back, everyone that came to church when I was growing up dressed the women in hats and the men in suits and ties. And things have changed today. We call it our Sunday best. And anyone wearing blue jeans might have felt uncomfortable in a service then. Today, in the churches, casual dress is the norm. And actually, it's kind of switched over. Someone in a suit might be the one that feels uncomfortable in church today. We like people who are like us, who look like us, dress like us, come from the same family, share our values, or are part of our tribe. Much of the segregation and violence done today, unfortunately, as you well know, is done in the name of religion. I'm right, you're wrong. No, I'm right, you're wrong. We recoil at the barbaric actions of ISIS and any terrorist group. Well, they are no more barbaric than some of the atrocities committed with Protestants and Roman Catholics against one another through the ages, killing and torturing. A few years ago, Pakistan's Daily reported on violence in Daywood Engineering College in Karachi. What started out as an exchange of words snowballed into a fistfight. The issue was opposed to urging students not to fight on campus, and the fight was over which one of them would put up the poster. And they started fighting. Sometimes you just got to laugh to keep from crying. Inside the Erie County Correctional Facility, just north of us, James and Lawrence began arguing over a bag of potato chips. And they started fighting with one another, fists fighting. And someone nearby in the prison broke up the fight. Now, what's ironic about this is that James and Lawrence were the prison guards. The one who broke up the fight was a prisoner. Turning upside down. And we know one of the responsibilities of prison guards is to stop fights. And here's an inmate breaking up a fight between two prison guards. It's kind of like an atheist having to break up a fight between a Muslim and a Christian. Among our duties as followers of Jesus is to bring peace to the world. We follow the one who is called the Prince of Peace. And here's what our text calls us to think about. What happens when we cannot get along among ourselves? We're those who Christ calls to be a light to a dark world. If rather than we bringing light to the world, we bring more darkness, what hope is there for the world who is in darkness? Jesus said to his disciples, "For whoever is not against us is for us." The Church of Jesus Christ is called to be a unifying force in society and not a divisive one. Our nation, our world seem to be more and more fragmented. We see it everywhere we look. Government's just one example. Liberals and conservatives, fundamentalists, all over this world seem to be at one another's throats, and even churches fighting against one another. Denominations fighting within themselves and fragmenting. There's an ironic story in the Associated Press a few months back, and here's how it read, and I remember using this before, but in honor of what's going on right now. Tens of thousands of people packed St. Peter's Square in the Vatican City to hear the Pope Francis pray for peace in Ukraine. The ceremony was topped off by two white doves being released as a symbol of peace and purity. Unfortunately, right after they were released, a seagull and a crow attacked and killed these symbols of peace. Isn't that a metaphor for what's going on in our world today? Who will show us the way out? It should be the people of God. Our lesson for today shows the disciples territorial, jealous, guarding their claim to represent Jesus. Now, we're the 12 disciples. No one else has the truth. You can't be preaching about Jesus. That's us. On one level, this is understandable. In that day and time, disciples were often named after their rabbi. They were responsible for carrying on his legacy. They were identified by the name of their rabbi. That was the nature of the relationship between disciples and rabbis, and it was a very exclusive one. We just love exclusivity, don't we? It would be an invasion for anyone else to use the name and even the teachings of a particular rabbi if not authorized by him to do so. The disciples of Jesus encountered a man using the name of Jesus to preach and drive out demons when he was not authorized. This offended the disciples, and they told him, "Stop it." And John tells Jesus what they had done. It was not that the disciples had found any misuse of the name of Jesus on the part of this man, or knew of any personal sin in this man's life, or anything that he was saying was wrong. They just felt that he should not be doing it because he was unauthorized. The disciples felt, this is our franchise. We own it. To them, it was like the Pope speaking for all the Muslims of the world. Jesus told the disciples to stop hindering the man, for no one could perform a miracle in his name and then speak evil of him publicly. Jesus' acceptance of this man was reinforced when he said, "Whoever is not against us is for us." Though this man did not follow Jesus exactly in the way or the capacity that the 12 disciples did, he followed him and believed that Jesus was the Messiah and was doing his best to tell others. In verse 41, Jesus broadens his words to include actions besides casting out demons. Even one who performs the smallest act of hospitality in his name, such as giving someone something as simple as just giving them a drink of water because they belong to him, will not lose his reward. Jesus had no interest in awarding a franchise to a certain group of people or a franchise to a certain church group. His desire was to develop relationships with people and not to cause divisions among them. We're those who call to bring Christ's priest to the world. And how can we bring peace if we're at strife with one another? In 1899, the people of Argentina and Chile were poised for war. The Argentinian bishops appealed for peace between the two countries, which they should have been doing. The Chilean bishop took up the cause and the dispute was submitted to King Edward VII, whose decision settled the quarrel. The unused guns from both countries were then melted down and abused for a colossal statue of Christ erected on a mountain range between the two countries. That is our legacy as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be representatives of peace for all people. It's okay to have a different understanding, a different set of beliefs that are personal to our church, are personal to you. But you don't hurt other people because they're different or that their belief system is a little bit different. So we need, here at Glenshaw Valley, and when we go out into the world, to do our best to achieve unity and peace and not division within the church or division in our community and not have division within our homes and ultimately not have division in the world. May God bless you. Amen.